Well, I recently read an article in Forbes entitled, Why You Need Wisdom and How to Be More Wise, According to Science. It was by Tracy Bauer, who has a PhD in something. Anyway, it mentioned most people think wisdom is gained through experience. And this article stressed that wisdom is a skill that anyone can gain, not just older people. You know, typically the wise are more senior, but there are old unwise people and young wise people as well. Well, research also showed that healthy gut bacteria levels are associated with higher levels of wisdom. So if all you eat are Doritos and Mountain Dew and Skittles, you're unwise in more than one way. But anyway, wisdom, of course, is more than just knowledge, of course. It's actually knowing how to apply it. And it's discernment that comes from having that perspective. It's been said that knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it, and I'll add how to say it. You've got to have some knowledge in order to have a foundation to build on. But it's also possible to have knowledge or book smarts and awareness of something without the judgment to know how to use it. And we all know people like that who are brilliant in one area and just plain dumb when it comes to living. Well, the article stresses the need for wisdom really just to have personal happiness and fulfillment and be a better citizen. But anyway, according to Forbes, you can be smart, but you need to try, and you need to learn how to do that. And actually, in a sense, God's word agrees with that, because it's important to seek and gain wisdom, but it's actually possible to gain it without going through something. In fact, learning by others' experience is wise, and insisting we only learn by our own experience isn't. You know, we have all known people that acted like, well, I wish I could go through bankruptcy to know what it was like, or I wish I could have brain surgery since I didn't wear a helmet. But that's just dumb. Watch the news and go, I don't want to be like that guy. You know, because if we don't use the wisdom available to us, then we are fools, according to Scripture. But one interesting thing is Forbes, a very good magazine as a whole, didn't mention was the source of wisdom. And the Bible describes the source as the only wise God in Romans 16. And if we really want wisdom, we'll go to God through His Word. And knowing the source, we also have to find the foundation of wisdom. Well, multiple times in the Bible, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We read that in Proverbs 9 and Proverbs 15. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15 says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing facts and how to do things is useful in this world. That is true. But all the learning of this world is worthless. Oh, we probably need to unplug a space heater. Mike, would you go flip a breaker? But before we can understand the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, we need to define what the Bible means by fear in the context. Well, according to Gut Questions, in the Bible, fear can mean three different things. It's what we feel in a frightening situation, or it could be respect in the way of fear. A servant fears his master, thank you, and serves him faithfully. Fear can also refer to the reverence or awe that a person feels in the presence of greatness. Well, the fear of the Lord, in a sense, is a combination of all three of these. It's an overwhelming sense of reverence for God's power that inspires awe. Well, last summer, our family made a trip to on the Maid of the Mist to the base of Niagara Falls. It was a hoot, and we got absolutely drenched on a warm summer day. It was also very awe-inspiring. You see, we were quite close to, I think, about 6 million cubic feet of water per minute that was crashing over those falls. And all of our senses were overwhelmed with wonder. You know, I could only see colors. Nothing was clear because I had mist and fog running down. I don't know if fog runs down your face, but something was. My glasses were completely blurry. I could feel the spray and the rumble of the falls through my whole body. I could barely hear anything above the roar and the laughs of people around me, I guess. And I couldn't help but taste and smell the mighty mist. It was really fun, but I'm glad our boat didn't get any closer than it did. Because had it, there would have been terror. All that water pouring over would have smashed us like a bug. I enjoyed being at the distance we were at. I was close enough to enjoy the majesty, but not get pounded or destroyed by it. And that's kind of like the fear of God believers can have. It's okay, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because we're right with God. We can draw near to him, but we don't want to get too cavalier and cozy because God remains God and is always to be respected and reverenced. Again, we can crawl up in his arms and the children were welcomed by Jesus onto his lap, but we want to remember whose lap we're sitting on. But you know, for those who don't have their sins forgiven, there should be a true fear of God and his wrath. You see, God does hate sin. And in the life of the unbeliever, he will deal with it. In the everlasting, there will be punishment in hell. For a believer, he will deal with it in love, but it's still a fearful thing. When I was a kid, I knew my parents loved me, but I also knew if I deliberately disobeyed, then I would have reason to fear them. The wooden spoon was busted out of the kitchen drawer by mom, or if I'd been really bad all day, the belt came off of dad when he got home from work. And many times that kept me from doing evil actions and saying bad things, though not always. With God, though, we can be secure in our relationship with him, but still fear his discipline and hopefully thus strive to please him. And like my parents, if I really respect and love God, then I probably won't be doing or saying things to displease him. As one person put it, the fear of the Lord is a healthy fear that leads us to wisdom by way of wonder. Because really it involves, if we understand who God is and his power and his might and his beauty and his majesty, then we'll keep this awe and we'll not want to press our luck with him. Those who worship the Lord are always worshipfully aware of him. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." That verse gives a real contrast between the wise and foolish. The wise fear and reverence God. The fool tells God to beat it and can't be told what to do. The wise start at the right place with God. The fool starts with the foundation of themselves. And that's a pretty shaky foundation. Romans 1 speaks about those who neither glorified God as God or gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. That's what happens to folks that disregard God and try to be wise on their own. In the end, it doesn't work. Some people totally diss God. Others try to mold God into a God of their own making or what they think he ought to be. You know, a God who just loves and whose goal is to let people do whatever they want without feeling bad about it. You know, that's not the God of the Bible, though. That's the God of Beelzebub. Actually, our God is holy and just and loving. He is a complete package. But if we truly understand what God is like, then our natural reaction will be to fear and reverence him, but also as believers to rejoice that we can come into his presence. Only when we have a true perspective of God, though, can we have real wisdom. You see, wisdom is getting life from God's perspective and then responding accordingly. We're told in James that there is wisdom that comes from heaven. Well, thankfully, it doesn't just stay in heaven, but God has revealed it in his word. There are times when we're very aware of God and his word, and we make good decisions. There's times when we kind of doubt it, and we kind of wrestle, do I want to pay attention or not? Well, I know whenever I've gone the other way, it never works out well. God sees and knows and evaluates all our choices and will answer to him. And if we understand how great he is, we'll give him the honor he's due. Deuteronomy 10 tells us, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oath in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes." If we fear God It should lead us to walking in his way, serving him and loving him. So God being our source of wisdom and a foundation of wisdom, it should stand to reason next that we'll want to get wisdom. Following the Bible makes wise the simple, according to Psalm 19. And the simple actually can become smart with the Bible as their guide. And if you want wisdom, need wisdom, desire it, seek it, you could just ask God. James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Aren't you glad? I don't know what to do, Lord.
Ask me.
Okay. And sometimes it doesn't come like the voice out of the sky. Sometimes it's still confusing, but we can trust him to guide us. Proverbs 2 tells us, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Perhaps part of the challenge is we're too busy talking to God instead of listening. We're told in Proverbs 4, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. A great way to do that is spending time in the written word of the all-wise God. And that is, folks, read your Bibles. God has lots to say about every topic under the sun. And if it's not specifically, then generally. I know it doesn't mention computers, but if you think about wisdom and use of time and what you put in your head and everything else and what keeping things in perspective, it does address every topic. You know, the only chance I have of becoming wise is to filter things through the lens of the Bible. See, a lot of what the world says is not wise. But sometimes a few things are, because all truth is God's truth. And so we don't want to chuck the baby out with the bathwater. But what I do want to say is run everything the world's saying through the filter of the Bible. Make sure it aligns. The Forbes article is right in that we can gain in wisdom. But as believers, we know we've got to have the right source and the right foundations, which is the Word of God. I mentioned last week that I'd like to challenge you to spend time in God's Word in the wisdom literature. The goal is this year as a congregation is to read Psalms and Proverbs, which is a good chunk of wisdom literature every month. And last week I gave out handouts. There are a number of leftover ones in the foyer on the table with kind of a Bible reading schedule. And so it's quite easy. Proverbs has 31 chapters. Most months, as you know, have between 28 and 31 chapters. So read a proverb of the day. So if you don't know, look on your calendar, your phone. It'll tell you it's, January 7th. It's my Luniversary, which is, I remembered. Happy Luniversary, darling. And anyway, read Proverbs 7. When it comes to the Psalms, you can read them all in order, 1 through 150, or you can say, I'm going to mix it up. It's the 7th, and I'm behind. You don't have to be, so I'll read Psalm 7, 37, 67, 97, 127. Or you could read, I think I did this morning, I listened to it because I was kind of out of it this morning. I listened to Psalm 31 to 35. However you want to do it, it's about 6 chapters a day. You know, a great way to go through the scripture is listen on your device. Truth be told, you could get all your Bible reading done in the bathroom. By the time you brush your teeth and floss and purify yourself, not to mention whatever else you might be doing in there. Let's say you get behind. Well, we all have to drive to Medford for good and bad. Plug it in. You'll get several days done reading on the trip there and back. If you haven't started, just jump in today. It's not a legalistic thing. Oh, I have to back up and start over. No, just keep trucking. If you get behind, just start with the proverb of the day and go from there. It'll take commitment. It'll take intention, but it'll be worth it. You know, one thing our world is sorely lacking is wisdom. And that's because they don't fear God. And without a fear of God, there will be no wisdom. I'll refrain from pointing out the many, many instances of what so-called smart people say these days, because there's a lot of people espousing dumb things. And you've all heard it on the news. But let me tell you a little bit about what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He told a story to the crowds about the wise and the foolish builders. And he said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, or doesn't listen to them at all, and doesn't put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, the world has a reason for being foolish. They don't know God. Their eyes are blinded to the glory of the gospel of Christ. They're still dead in their sins and trespasses, and they ignore God. But we don't have any excuse if we've been transformed by Jesus, because we've come into a relationship with the all-wise God, and we've been given the book of wisdom. So I want to encourage you, as a child of God, tap into it. Whatever your hopes for the new year are, know that you could actually become wiser this year. Wouldn't that be great? If nothing else, you may not be better looking. Some of you will be, I know. But or lose that weight or accomplish that task. But if you become wiser, it'll be a good year. You know, our awe-inspiring, wise Creator God actually wants us to be wise. He's like, would you like some wisdom? Come and get it. And that's why he's revealed himself through the Bible. Some people call it basic instructions before leaving earth. Well, we can enjoy these instructions now. Psalm 119, 18 tells us, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And that's a prayer God will answer. And I think you'll be really encouraged as you, if you do read through the Psalms and Proverbs this year. By the 11th or 12th time, you'll start to notice some themes and go, oh my goodness, God sure is smart. And you can become wiser still. Well, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature as a young man. And may we, whatever age or stage we're at, also grow wiser with God in 2024. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you offer wisdom to all who will seek it. Lord, I thank you. You've given us your word, which has stood the test of time, which is not only for the past, be it 3,000 years or 2,000 years or 40 years ago or so last year or whatever the dumb statement is. No, it's good for all time. And it makes sense and applies to our lives right now. And Father, I pray that we would seek your wisdom. And it would be evident in our lives at the end of this year, we'd actually be wiser because we spent time with you, the all-wise God. And that would be a wonderful gift. We thank you for all you've done. In your name I pray. Amen.